Good morning. It's good to see everybody. I'll ask you to bear with me. Not only have I been gone for a couple of weeks, and I appreciate Jamie being willing to fill in, and I'm certain that he did a wonderful job in filling in. Just please don't tell him that. I'll let him know that you guys said he did okay or something along those lines, but I appreciate him being able to fill in. And I'm sure do a wonderful job. Thank you for asking about me and my family. Many of you took that opportunity to bring us food and to call and check on us, and we're thankful for the prayers. And honestly, Alana got it worst. I lost my taste and smell for probably 4 or 5 days, which really was about the extent of it. I had a headache, a little tired for a couple of days, but that was really the extent of it for me, and so thankful that we kind of got a light case of that. But I haven't been in the pulpit for 2 weeks. I'm going to try to start a video recording. We'll see what happens today. This will be my first opportunity at that, and so those who are at home will actually get to see the service and not just hear it, hopefully. I'll cross my fingers and see what happens today, but try to work those kinks out. So not only do I have the pad that controls all the sound, but now I have my phone that controls the camera. And so give me a moment to wrap my head around all of those things, and appreciate your patience with me today. We are going to continue today, and I'll try to get in and get going as quickly as I can, because I do have a lot of information, and I want to try to stay within that time frame. The danger of me not being here for 2 weeks is I got a lot of stuff to say, so that might not be good for you, but I'll try to get through it as quickly as I can. Now, I don't want to run through everything that we've talked about so far, but I do want to talk about what we talked about just last month. Now, this particular lesson should be the lesson from the end of November, but I wasn't here, and so we're going to do it at the beginning of December. But we talked about being light to the world. Now, we talked earlier about Jesus being the light of the world, but we talked last month about us being lights to the world. Now I want to talk this morning, which will kind of expand on that, very specifically taking this message to the world. So as Christians, a lot of times when we're shining our lights, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, right? We're encouraging them. We're trying to do things maybe together and you know, shine our lights. But I want to talk more specifically today about taking that message to the world. Notice what's said, what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We see that what Satan tries to do is to blind the minds or blind the eyes of the world. And so that's who we're taking this message to. We're taking the message to people who are blind. We're trying to give them an opportunity to spiritually see when they are spiritually blind. We're told in Acts chapter 13 that was read for us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, not just the Jews. It was for the Jews. But here we see specifically that Paul was going to be going to the Gentiles. The story of the gospel is this. Man sinned. God sent his son. That son died for man so that, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, which we'll look at again a little bit later, that those people could go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So those people who have accepted that the Son died for them and have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins have a job. And that job is to take that light to the world. So I want to examine some pieces of personal evangelism when we're talking about Vision 2020 and a light to the world, and specifically a light to the Gentiles. I want to talk first about the beauty of the light. Think about everything else that we enjoy in this life. What do we do when we find something that we truly, really enjoy doing? Don't we tell other people about it? Right? That's the first thing that we do. We want to share what we love with somebody else that we love. Think about the last movie that you saw that was just incredible. What did you do? Oh, you have to see this movie. You have to go see this movie. What about a book that, okay, nobody reads books, but what about music? The last song that you heard? Oh, you've got to hear this song by one of my favorite artists. Most of my favorite artists are in the 70s and 80s and 90s. I don't have too many today, so they're not new songs, but hey, have you ever heard this song? Or what about something that has to do with entertainment? Oh, there's a new putt-putt golf course that opened up. Right? I want you to come, but I want you to try it. I want you to enjoy it because I enjoyed it so much. So how's come when we become children of God, we don't do that with our salvation? A lot of times we want to take it and keep it to ourselves, right? No, I don't want to talk about that. That could be controversial. Somebody may not like it. But that's not what God has asked us to do. When we see something that has beauty or that has value, don't we take it to the world? Why not the gospel of Jesus Christ? I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 25. He says here, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." Always use this example, guys. You remember, those of you who are married, do you remember when you got married and you saw your bride either, you know, come in through a door or you know, come from behind a curtain of some sort to walk down the aisle, right? And everyone stood up and turned and looked. And at that moment, you had no idea who else was in the crowd, did you? You were looking at your bride, who was so beautiful, coming to you. And when she got down to you, what did you think? What did you say? "I can't believe you wore that dress." No, that's not what you said. She probably would have turned around and walked right back out, right? No. You were thinking, or you said, "You look absolutely beautiful." Let me ask, was it about the dress? Was it about how her hair was done? No. It was all about what was about to take place, right? It was all about the rest of your life that you were going to spend together. And that's what made her look so beautiful. But did that stop her from putting on that dress? From doing her hair? Do you realize when your bride was there and she was walking down and everyone else stood up and turned and looked, she didn't do that for them. She didn't put on that, you know, the whatever was in her hair or put on that dress. She didn't do that for them to stand up and look at her. She did that for you. Now I want you to notice something in Ephesians chapter 25 and verse 32. "The mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church." Right? He puts this image in our mind about our wedding day and how beautiful our bride was and how much she did to take care of herself that day so that she could present herself to you spotless. Now, somebody else may look at that bride and say, "Well, I wouldn't have chosen that particular dress," or "I liked her hair better the other way." But her husband wouldn't have done that. When I saw Alana, she was perfect. She was spotless. Maybe not to everyone else, but to me, it was perfect. Whatever it was that she had on, that was perfect. For me. Now, what God is trying to tell us here through the pen of Paul is that it's not about the wedding day. It's not about your physical bride. He said, I'm talking about Christ and the church. And so what you need to do as the bride, as the church, as the bride of Christ, is do just what that bride would do. Present yourself spotless. Not that you'll be sinless, but make yourself up for your husband. Do what he would want you to do. That's not about everybody else who's watching. What does he want you to do? How does he want you to look? We have this image in our mind. We understand that husband and wife relationship. You know, the bride and the groom relationship. We get that. And he said, I'm not talking about that. I want you to make the connection between Christ and the church. You are the bride of Christ. He's waiting for you. Are you presenting yourself spotless and blameless to him? Think about that beauty of the bride and what she is supposed to show. What does it mean to share the gospel? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter tells us this in verse 15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. And so there's two things that are involved here in sharing the gospel. Number one, it's got to be in your heart. That's what we're told. Sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. He is ruler in your heart. And so whatever comes out, he's going to approve of. And then he goes on to say, now, once it's in your heart, be ready to defend it. Because the world, Satan, is going to attack it. And so you need to be ready to defend what God has put in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. I love this verse. But it says, you are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. We sing a song from time to time called The World's Bible. Right? We are the only Bible this careless world will read. Most of the time, that's going to be the case. Not many people are just going to go and pick up a Bible just because. Oh, let's see what this book is about and then become a Christian. Most of the time, they're going to see you. So you know what? I really want to be more like that person. Not patting yourself on the back. You're just presenting yourself to your husband. Right? You are a bride that is presenting yourself to your husband. You're trying to do what he would like, what he would want. And the world is going to look at that and say, you know what? I want to be more like you. And you're going to say, no, you want to be more like him, because that's what I'm trying to be. I'm not trying to be more like somebody that just wants people to be more like them. I'm trying to be like him. And so you are wanting to be like him. They just don't know it yet. You are our letter. Most people aren't going to read God's word. They're going to read you. And that's going to lead them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of Paul's strategies in passing that light from one person to another. When people said, I want to look like Paul, what did Paul do to get them to look more like Christ? Well, the first thing that I want us to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 20, is that he says he became all things to all men. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, so that I might win the Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I became all things to all men, so that I may be by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. This word, and there's going to be a lot of Greek words today that I'm not going to try to pronounce. Usually if there's one or two, I'll try to remember the pronunciation. There's so many today that I'm not going to try to do that, but this word become literally means to come to acquire, or to experience. What he did not say is, I'm going to behave like these people. He said, I'm going to become like them. I'm going to put myself in their shoes, in their place. Not that I'm going to behave like they behave, right? And he refutes that. He says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew, not following the law. I'm following the law of Christ. But he said, I became like them. I put myself in their shoes and allowed myself to see from their perspective. That will go a long way in building a relationship. If we're going to point our fingers at people and say, you're sinful. Why would you do something like that? You need God. It's probably not going to work very often. But if we put ourselves in their shoes, you can say things like, you know what, I feel for you. I know that it's hard. Let me help you get through this. Let me help you get to where you need to be. That's what people want. That's what they're longing for. Paul did that. He became all things to all men. As part of that, he shared in their interest, shared his interest with them, and shared in their interest. How often have we declined maybe to do something and say, you know what, I don't want to do that. That's not going to be any fun for me. But what about all those other people that it may be fun for? Listen, it's not necessarily fun for me. I woke up early this morning because I heard the boys in their room playing. And they can destroy things very quickly if you don't get a handle on it, pretty quick. And so I went up into their room, and you know what? I just sat down and played with them for a little while. Do you think that it was like something that I would do if they weren't there, to go in and sit down and play with their little kitchen toys and their stuffed animals? Not necessarily fun for me, but it was for them. And so it was for me. We need to be thinking about other people. Paul did that. Paul thought about other people. He shared in their interests. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 7. It says, but we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleasers to impart to you not only the gospel of God, notice this, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to. We gave our lives to you, to the things that you like, to the things that you enjoy. We shared our interests. We imparted our own lives to you. We shared our interests with you. You shared your interests with us. We did things together. That's how we're going to get people to come to the gospel. By becoming all things to all men, to share in their interests. Not those interests that go against God's word, but those interests that really are just liberties. Share in their interests, show them our interests, get to know them better. Are we genuinely getting to know people and to love them? With all of their sins and all of their mistakes and everything. Taking it all. Not that they're going to stay that way or that we're condoning those actions. But we're accepting them, saying, you know what? I want you to be like more like Christ. And it's going to be a process. We're all going to make mistakes. We want to make fewer mistakes the longer we go. But we want to do that. Are we doing those things? Are we becoming all things to all men? Are we sharing our interests? Are we genuinely wanting to get to know them better? When I was a kid, I used to think when somebody would come and say, let me show you pictures of my kids. Before I had kids, I thought, why does this person think that I want to see their kids? I don't know their kids. Why would I want to see their kids? Guess what I do? Oh, you got to see this picture. Do the same thing. But you know what? If you genuinely take an interest in their children, if you genuinely take an interest in their life, the things that they love, you're going to build a relationship with them, and then you're going to be able to share your knowledge with them.